Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah. A-Dream in the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in.
Yes,
look.
Sir.
Look. We came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico. So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down relationships to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life, how we live in life. From politics to the current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life, how we live in life.
Coming to you live and streaming to all four points of the globe. It's your girl, Brooklyn born and Crown Heights raised. Living life and breathing life. It's Bree. Baby.
Well, peace and blessings. You have reached the Bree Life Radio Show, and I'm your girl, Bree. And you know what today is. Today is Freestyle Thursdays. That's right, baby. Freestyle Thursdays. That's where there are no holds barred. Say what you want, feel what you want to feel, and express it all on the Bree Life Radio Show at Freestyle Thursdays. And you could do so by calling in to 424-220-1862. That number again is 424-220-1862. Also, you can follow me on Facebook at Bree Life, Twitter at Bree Life, blogtalkradio.com/Bree Life. And also, I'm loving all the emails that I'm getting. I mean, they're quite overwhelming. Some of them are really funny. A few are sad, but just know that I'm taking the time to go through all the emails and addressing each one of your questions, concerns, and constructive criticisms, of course. And you can send those emails at BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com. So come on, you know what we do at the beginning of Bree Life Radio, because we breathe in light. So let's take that deep breath in, because we're about to go in like A-Dream just said. So with me. Let's take a deep breath. And whew, let's go. All right, so we going in. It is Freestyle Thursdays. And you know who one of my favorite guest callers are. He is none other than Mark from Houston, Texas. So let's bring him on the line. Mark, peace and blessings.
Well,
it is Freestyle Thursdays, baby.
Yes, it is. Going in.
We about to go
going in hard.
Okay.
Going in hard.
All right. So,
yes.
One of the things that I want to take the time to do before we go in hard, I want to give two birthday shout outs. One to a friend of mine that I grew up with. She grew up on President Street. Yes, she's a Crown Heights girl like myself. She grew up on President Street between Rogers and Bedford Avenue, and her name is Charisse Richardson. So, peace and blessings, Charisse. If you're out there listening, I know it's your birthday night. I don't expect you to be on Bree Life Radio. You can always, you know, check out the archive and hear my biggest, warmest happy birthday to you, girl. And also, someone who is near and dear to my heart that I know is listening, his name is Kevin Denny. He is my very best friend. And I just want to tell you, both Mom and Glenn and myself, we say we love you, Kevin. Thank you for your love and support, continued support. Not just for Bree Life Radio, but for your girl, Bree. Also, another announcement. I want to once again thank Demetrius Lawrence, the Community Board 9 Chairman and PTA President at PS 161, for inviting me to speak to the parents and teachers and administrators at the school for Women's Day. And that'll be on March 19th at 6 p.m. So if you have children that or grandchildren that attend PS 161 and you want to come in and get a chance to talk with me, that would be great. Also, if you're a former alumnus like myself of PS 161 in Crown Heights and you graduated, I won't say the year, please feel free to come in and give your girl Bree a big hug and say peace and blessings. So we're about to go in. It's Freestyle Thursdays. Mark, what is your?
Yes.
What's your freestyle, baby?
Oh my goodness, I don't know. You know, I'm still kind of going on this whole thing that we've been talking about for a while.
Oh
yeah.
No! Please.
I know
please.
It is. This is what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about, this is my freestyle, internet dating.
Oh, God.
Internet dating. You thought I was going to talk about this other thing, and I'm not going to talk about that right now. I want to talk about internet dating.
Not right now? Oh, okay, thanks.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a break
about
on my other one.
What about it?
Although I can promise you it's going to come up tonight. I can promise you. I'll give you an out tonight. Internet dating. Why are we internet dating? What is going on with internet dating? Everybody, you know, is seeming like they're doing it, but obviously everybody's not doing it. So,
not doing
I've
it.
Heard,
you're not doing it.
Nope. You're not doing it.
Okay. Not anymore.
But my point is, well, see, that's what I'm saying. When I'm saying doing it, I'm not much talking about you might be actively dating on the internet right now, but I'm saying that you have been exposed to it, or you know someone that has been exposed to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been doing it for some time. I mean, I was out for a little while because I was in a relationship that was working, and so therefore I had no need of its services. However, it's kind of a one-stop shop to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the issue with the one-stop shop for me. The thing about it is I had a conversation with a young lady today, and we were just talking about the whole issue of the internet and the one-dimensionalism of the internet. However, the ability to screen to some extent prospective individuals that you may have an opportunity to meet, chat with, get to know, was highly attractive to very busy, highly mobile people. You know, when you're working all day, and this person that I talked to, She's a professional, she's busy, she needs to do what she needs to do, and trying to be on the bar scene, first of all, no one really wants to be on the bar scene anyway. So as much as internet dating may get maligned, trust me, the bar scene gets talked about even worse. Because if you meet somebody at the bar, somebody's going to have something to say about that. Girl, you met him at the bar? You don't even know him. Okay, so now you're going to say you don't know the guy at the bar. But I've been hearing just the craziest thing about the internet dating. Why would you be online? What are you doing? You just, you know, act like you at the buffet picking macaroni and cheese over collard greens and, you know, just basically picking and choosing. Well, first of all, I'm not picking and choosing, and most people aren't picking and choosing. What happens is you interact with people, and they can pick, choose, or refuse whatever you have to say. It is quite interesting because people present themselves online in all kind of ways. I mean, they write these, some write unbelievably elaborate profiles that talk about how they, you know, have, what they're looking for, a man who does this and a man who does that and a woman that wants to walks and talks and all this kind of stuff. And then some are very vague. As a matter of fact, I ran into one that was so interesting to me. She said, look, I'm not getting ready to take any time to write anything down. If you choose to pick me or want to contact me, send me a message and we can chat. And basically her opinion was, I don't want anybody trying to tailor some message or conversation to me based upon what they think I want. Because one thing about it is the game has kind of changed, and you got people that are somewhat savvy and have finally figured out that, wait a minute, if I want to have a good conversation with a woman, if I just pay attention to the things she says, then basically I'll respond back, so forth and so on. Well, even that can be a bunch of garbage too, because at the end of the day, similar to what I call the human resources department, and I call it kind of like internet dating, like the human resources department. You know, HR. What happens with HR? Anybody know anything about HR? You get resumes. You look at the resume. The resume gives you a quick overview of this person's history per se. So if it looks kind of good, you say, okay, well, it kind of looks good. But guess what? You still got to have a conversation. So no matter what you women or men choose to write on these resumes or profiles, as we call them, on the internet dating sites, you still got to pass the muster of a conversation or interaction. And so one thing about it is, my mama used to say this all the time. She said, if it don't come out in the wash, it's going to come out in the rinse. So, and it usually does. And anybody that's done it enough, you know, they know quickly that, hey, you're going to find out some things. Now, it's interesting because, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, Bree, but in past shows, we've talked about rules of engagement, and then we've talked about your 90-day thing. Well, The cool thing, one thing about the internet, a lot of this stuff ain't going to make it in 90 minutes.
So yeah, they don't make it very long. They never did.
Don't worry about all that. Yeah, yeah, they're not going to even make it past or whatever. You know, it is. My approach to it has somewhat changed because I don't view it the same way anymore. I mean, my thing is, I will see what I see. We'll converse. I mean, I ain't trying to marry you. I ain't trying to make you a long-term relationship. I just
know
need
that.
To get to know you. I just get you to get to know you. Well, but you know, see, here's my thing. I am not adverse to a long-term relationship. I love them. Matter of fact, I've only been into two serious relationships for my adult life, which has taken up almost all of my adult life.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, I'm the kind of guy that is loyal. I don't cheat on my mate, or I haven't. I'll put you like that. You know, I'm not going to never say what I never will do, but I got a good feeling that's too much energy to play that kind of game. I don't like playing those kind of games. So I'm pretty much a straight shooter when it comes to that. So when we talk, basically on what you see is what you get. So, but I'm going to tell you, because I have been on dates and I've had crazy stuff happen, and, you know, I told you about a couple incidences, you know, and I used to play this game I call the gas station game. And
yeah,
for me,
I know
the gas station game was this. You know, I went to a gas station. I would talk to the young lady. I said, hey, look, we have never met. It's a gas station near you. And what I'm going to do is I'll tell you my car, and you'll know what it is, and I'll get out. I'll walk into the gas station, and you can check me out, because I want you to know that as close as possible, I'm going to look like whatever I said on that piece of paper and that picture I show. I'm going to look like that. If I say I'm 6 feet, I ain't going to be looking like I'm 5'5", or I ain't going to be 7 feet.
Right.
We ain't going to be having those kind of problems in translation. Now, I know sometimes, you know, you get some mumble jumble and things get kind of mixed up, but 9 times out of 10, you will be like, okay, I can recognize this guy from this picture and the profile that he said he was. You know, I'm not going to be 70 pounds. You know what I'm saying? You'll see that. So now I give you the opportunity. Now here's the thing. I also know that I don't know how you're going to look. But I'll take that chance because being a man, I'm always on a position that, you know what, hey, women and a lot of people have concerns about internet dating because they think, oh, you might meet a stalker or you might meet this or you might meet that. And so for me, my position was I want to make it easier. I want to take the sting out of it for the young lady. And I give her that opportunity to see me. And then if you decide you saw what you like, blow the horn, pull over, step out, whatever the case may be. Now, I've never had a woman drive off and not introduce herself, you know what I'm saying, because obviously if she liked what she saw on the picture, she would get at least that, if not a better view of who I was. So
oh, of
Yeah, I'm just keeping it real. I'm just saying, no, they ain't even nothing like that. You know, I'm just saying, I mean, it's like I met a young lady. Let me take my first internet dating experience, 2005. Young lady, I met her on this site, and I'm looking at, you know, she looks nice, you know, and she had a nice profile. We talked on the phone a couple of days or so. Then, so because this was new for me, and I was kind of like, I was unsure, a little apprehensive about the whole process, what I told her was, I said, okay, this is what I want you to do. I want you to meet me at this park that was not far from my house. Now, I knew that I had to be at work at 3 o'clock, so I asked her to meet me at 2:30. Now, she knew I had to be at work at 3, too. But basically, I said, you know what, since we talk all the time, let's at least get a hello, meet and greet, and then we can, you know, talk to each other later, maybe hook up in the evening or tomorrow. So she said, oh, I'm game for that. So I parked around the block because I was just, just in case I didn't like the situation, I didn't want her to know my car, real, none of that kind of stuff. I'm tripping because I ain't never did this before. I walk through the park, and I see a woman sitting on a bench, but I'm saying to myself, this cannot be this woman. And she's smiling. So I'm saying, I'm really saying this cannot be this woman. Because she, because she's looking nothing like who she was. She had a picture on there that was 20 years younger than who she was.
Mm-hmm.
She did not look anything. She was, and again, she was very frail looking, kind of like she, and I found out later talking to her, she had had some illnesses and all this other kind of stuff. But again, none of this came out in the conversation on the phone. And I'm thinking to myself, you got to be kidding. You actually, you know what you look like. You know you look like that picture. You got to know. You know, and then we talked about it. I said, oh, wow, your picture. She said, yeah. And she admitted, she said, yeah. She said, that was the only picture I had. I said, really? You would have been better off keeping it blank and hoping that your the virtues of your paper profile would have won me over.
Lord have mercy.
Look at this. What do we have here? Well, this is what we had there. We had a nice little conversation. I was courteous. I was not mean or anything. I had to go. So I was like, hey, you know what? Nice talking to you. Maybe. And I said, maybe. We'll talk again. Actually, we did talk again, you know, because I didn't feel like being super, super rude. But in a way, I felt like, would I have been super rude? Because she didn't tell the truth. In any case, I got out of there quick, walked around the corner, jumped in my car. Woof, I never saw her again.
Wow.
So, never saw her again. But anyway, my freestyle is about the internet dating. We'd love somebody to call in with their stories. We would love to hear about some of your internet dating stories or some of your reservations about internet dating. Again, all I know is this. You're going to meet somebody somewhere. And a young lady told me this today about her meeting people in the grocery store. And like she says, for her, that is not the optimal situation. That is not optimal. Please, it's kind of like, I'm adverse to saying hello to somebody, but it's a little uncomfortable when I see you at aisle 2, aisle 7, and then aisle 11, you finally walk like we've run into each other or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like I'm being stalked to some extent. And then I'm like, okay, hi, are you single? Are you married? And she said, not. And then they look around like they're concerned maybe if you are married, your husband might be here, so they looking to see. And then once they get the okay, she admitted she lied several times. She said, yes, I am married. Because usually that made a run. However, I think she would even admit that marriage don't make everybody run. But
okay.
She talked about her experiences, and I thought that was quite interesting because at the end of the day, you know, where do you meet people? That's what she was saying. Where will I meet somebody with my busy schedule? I get off at 5 o'clock. I work all day. What am I going to do? Well, the internet seemed to be simple in the sense that at least I can look at several people, the possibility. We have a phone conversation. The phone conversation goes cool. We may set up a time to have coffee or whatever the case may be, and then we take it from there. And if it doesn't work out, oh, well. You know, and this whole thing about a stalker and a axe murderer and all that kind of stuff, well, again, yeah, once in a while you hear these stories. But the reality is that's not the norm. And I wanted to tell you something, Bree. That movie Catfish you was telling me about, I started looking into that movie, and actually the movie producers are being and the director are being investigated for fabricating the story.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I was online looking at that yesterday. I was like, wow. They're being investigated. They said that maybe the vast majority of the story was fabricated.
Well, even if it was, I mean, what's wrong with it being fiction?
Well, no, I was thinking about the lore of that story was it was a documentary. So, like, this guy actually traveled all the way to, to meet this woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I know, that was... Man, I woke up in the middle of the night and saw this movie, and I started thinking about the internet dating that I've done. I'm like, I thought some of my stories were bad, but this story, Catfish, is really about, it highlights this woman who seems to be somewhat schizophrenic, right?
Right, right. Multiple personalities, not schizophrenic, multiple personalities.
I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, multiple personalities. Yeah, she supposedly, anyway. But they got a bunch of problems. But yeah, I guess if you knew it wasn't a documentary, it still would have probably been very good. But the fact that it was supposed to be real just made you say, "Wow!" Especially if you wake up in the middle of the night and you see it.
Well,
it's a nightmare.
I'm gonna interrupt you for a moment because I see that my other favorite caller is on the line. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Chris from New York. Chris,
hey,
baby.
How you doing?
How are you? Peace and blessings. What is your freestyle?
Oh, no, I didn't have a freestyle tonight. I was just listening in for a little while and, you know, I already told my story about internet dating.
Yeah.
I already told my story about, you know, y'all know how I feel about internet dating.
But Chris, we got new people. I got people calling in that's listening right now. They don't know about your story. You got to help us out, man. Come on, give us a refresher.
The refresher is that the reason why a certain group of women attract themselves to internet dating is so that they can lie, and lie about who they are, what they look like, and that's the only reason why you would need all of that time and air and space in between me and you, and they just looking for attention. That's it. That's my opinion. And the fact of the matter is that it should take. No long. If somebody was really going to date you or really interested in getting with somebody, the majority of those people would not be taking so long if that was what you interested in, you know. I went to a speed dating session one time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that was hot. I mean, I really enjoyed that. I mean,
I don't know if people know what speed dating is. You should tell some of our listeners what it is because it is crazy. They have it down here in Houston as well.
Yeah, I know. I've never been to a speed dating session. So, yes, we would love to hear what speed dating actually is.
Yeah, speed dating is the bomb. And it's for real people that got a real brain. And don't mind being seen by real people where you're actually looking for a level of interaction where you're not lying. Now, speed dating is, it's about, you know, they have about, you know, usually they try to have around the same amount of women and men. So you say maybe 20 men, maybe 20 women. And what you do is you play musical chairs. You sit down in front of the woman. You have all your questions that you would love to know or love to ask, right? And they give you a timer. So it reminded me of playing chess by the timer, you know? You hit that button, and you got 10 minutes, or you got 5 minutes, or you got 6 minutes. to get it out and get it in. And she's and there's no time. You know, you don't have 3 months like on the internet where somebody basically texts you, "Hi, how you doing?" And then 3 months later, "Fine." Because, you know, because you know you weren't in need of any attention for 3 months, and you say, "Oh, what's that site again? What's the password again? Let me go on there and see if anybody has been checking out my profile."
Because
I'm starving for some attention now. You know?
This is it.
So, because, you know, ain't nobody said hi to me in a week. So, the funny part is that, you know, it's real up close and personal, and if you ain't got your act together, you don't belong there. Just like one of the speed dating would be very bad for a person who is basically not trying to get into a relationship, you know, like the kind of person that just likes to run their mouth, you know, the kind of person likes to run their mouth but not say nothing, you know, like the kind of person who's not into any type of disclosure for the first couple of weeks.
Mm.
Okay.
It was good.
Go ahead. Your experience with and I just want to make this clear because, you know, your experience with internet dating has been that people didn't respond to you in a timely manner. That's what you're saying.
I'm saying it's super corny. It just takes too long. You got people that are accustomed to internet dating. I mean, the point is that they're accustomed. These are the people who have these are the people who text for a living now. You know, these are the people that don't talk to each other. They have evolved from internet dating, where you know what, they just want some tiny level of interaction, where you put up a bunch of fake pictures about how you looked 10 years ago on a good day at your prom. And I'm going to put up a picture of my cousin because she looks a little like me in case I ever meet this guy. But, you know, she looked better than me. You know, she got a better body than me. So, you know what, I'll put up a picture of her instead of me because, you know what, there's no way I'm taking a picture of myself right now. Now, it's totally different when you get on a site where they're not faking moves. It's totally different when you get on a site where they have webcam access, okay? And if you look at the number of people who are ready for the webcam versus the number of people that that fit in your category, I mean, I proved my point 100,000%, because the fact is that the only difference is that I get to look at you face to face. So if you have 100 people that you could webcam versus 22,000 people who have their prom picture up, it's just ridiculous.
Okay.
Because the only difference is I'm texting you, you texting me. The only difference is we got to talk now. Because you're actually trying to get something accomplished now, which if you're not trying to date, you shouldn't be on the site.
So Chris, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, and I value. Trust me, I value what you're saying because I don't know that I would still be engaged in the process if I was running into those scenarios. Because guess what, my listeners out there that's listening, I don't run into. I mean, from time to time, I get people that I hit, and it took them, you know, a while to get back to me. But for the most part, almost every interaction, I can tell you, I talked to a young lady today, and I've listened to her story, and she says for the most part she responds fairly quickly to people, and she says she has responded pretty quickly to people. And me, the same thing. Because what happened to me is, to be honest, my dating experience has not been much of me trolling, looking for people. I've had the opportunity for people to stop by, look at my profile, left me a message, then I'll leave them a message. Then they'll leave me a message. We're talking within a day period of time we exchange messages. And then
we have another person on the line, and we want to bring this caller in. Peace and blessings. You've reached Bree Life Radio. I'm your girl, Bree, and we are freestyling because it's Thursday. Who may I have the pleasure of talking to?
Hey, Bree, it's Michael Johnson. I know you know me because I'm on your Facebook page. You're one of my Facebook friends. How are
That's
you?
That's right, baby. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
Okay.
This is
Freestyle Thursdays. I want to welcome you to Bree Life Radio. I want to also thank you for becoming one of my Facebook friends. And I want to know what your freestyle is.
I want to piggyback off of what that brother just said about internet dating, but I want to give another spin to it. I first met my girlfriend of 7 years online, and when we first met, we met on a site called Black Planet, and I don't know if you remember Black Planet.
Oh, yeah, it's still around, actually.
Yeah, it's still around. Make a long story short, we actually got to know each other for 6 months, even before I knew what she looked like.
Wow.
Yeah, 6 months, even before I knew what she looked like. And
Chris is loving
y'all it. Y'all are laughing. No, y'all are laughing. But
I love it. You got time on your hands, time to burn.
What'd you say, sir?
I said, you got time to burn. 6 months?
Well,
you looking for a date today, and you going to talk to them on the internet for 6 months without
seeing
their face?
Well, you know something? I was born with a disability. So I live by the following. Who am I to judge somebody else? You know what I mean? Because I was born with a disability. And, you know, I take people for who they are at first. So we talked for about 6 months. We really got to know each other as friends. And we made arrangements to meet a couple of weeks before my birthday, which was in September of that year. And when I met her, she just took my breath away. And we have been going strong ever since. This September will be 7 years. And
when are you getting married?
Well, we get married right after I finish my master's.
And how much longer is that?
I've got 5 more classes to go.
Well, congratulations to you.
You know, I'm not going to come half-stepping with her. You know, if I'm going to come correct, just like I want her to come correct. And
okay.
I think what's gotten us through is the fact that we were friends first, and we can talk about just about anything. You know, a lot of times an internet relationship or even a face-to-face relationship, you're going to come in with baggage. And if you're willing to put up with that baggage, that's one thing. But if you're not, don't try to make it seem like you are and think that you can get over the baggage, because you're not. You're really not.
Mm-hmm.
Get to know each other as a human being instead of an object. And, you know, be comfortable with that person. And 9 times out of 10, more than likely, it might just work. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's just my two cents.
Yeah,
that's a great
story. And you know what? I mean, I have seen a lot of info on, you know, they have Match.com. You know, a couple of people got married. They have the other one.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I tell a story about what, I mean, I try not to stick with the minority. Okay. Now, would you mind if I ask you a question about something personal?
Go ahead.
All right. How long were you on that site before you came across your dream girl?
You know, it's funny you say that. I was on for about a month.
Did you have any other interaction, or she was just the light of your life, right? You know, the only one you ever tried to talk to. No.
it was, you know, like I said, with her, we became friends first, so we found common interests. So when you say light of my life, it was just somebody that I had a common interest with, you know, and one thing led to another. I did.
All right. I'm not asking you about her right now. I'm asking you about, did you interact with any other women?
Oh, yeah, I did. I did, yeah. But, you know, nothing with the other ones clicked the way she and I did.
All right. Well, let me ask you, just on an average, like, how many women?
Wow, okay. I'd say about three or four other women.
Three of, I mean, she's not listening to you in the background, is she?
Oh, no, please.
Okay. So you were on there for a month, and you only had words with three or four women.
Yeah, you know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because I have a low tolerance for nonsense. And if you start talking yin-yang that I don't agree with, you know, the conversation's over. You got to come to me with something, you know, with something intelligent and sensible out of your mouth.
Okay.
And, you know, go ahead.
I got you. I mean, I'm just trying to establish something here.
Chris, three or four women
weren't talking yin yang. Is that what you're saying?
Three or four women were talking yin yang.
The other three or four women were talking yin yang.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you know.
It's kind of, but you know, but the same thing can happen face to face. You can be four women. Exactly. You can
not face to face.
I'm just trying to establish that even in your scenario, we're still mm-hmm. talking about the minority, because the majority of the experiences that you had were yin yang, in your own words.
Okay.
It seems like you're
making a distinction between what's online and what's not.
Well, what I'm trying to do is I'm just trying to establish that I've heard a lot of stories from a lot of people, and I've heard, mm-hmm. as I said, harmony, a lot of people get married, and then you look at the numbers of the people. All right, even if you had 1,000 marriages, you had 3 million people online. So what is that? That ain't nothing.
So Chris, let me ask you something real quick. Let me say this. So the gentleman said he's 7-year relationship. I was in a 4-year relationship off of being online, and
okay. When
you start telling me about the numbers, see, because this is the thing, on the street, I'm not going to be able to even have that many interactions that you're talking about. So see, you gotta also take into account when you try to do your math, you gotta look at the fact that you have more available, and whenever you have a larger number, you gonna have a larger failure rate. I'm gonna ask you, how many women do you meet on the street that you interact in a way where you're trying to find out if you can meet them and have a conversation that's going to be go beyond how you're doing? How many women do you meet daily or weekly that you really are trying to, quote-unquote, holler at?
One a day.
So one a day, that's five a week. And I'm not trying to put you on the spot. So let me take you out of the equation. Out of five a week, what happens?
Out of five a week, you find out that either you have similar interests or you don't. But
okay.
the point that I'm getting at is that, see, I'm not sitting here talking about the small percentage of people that you've met that became friends, or the small mm-hmm. amount of people that you were able to date for a period of time, or the small amount of people. I'm not talking about the small percentage of people that you might have went on a vacation with. I'm talking about the majority. Because if
I have for you about the street, though, the question about the street is, what is the rate of dating on the street? So for, let's take the internet out of the equation. What I mean, if you had to guess, because I know a whole lot of people that are not internet dating and they're not in a relationship right now. They're not, and they're crying about not meeting people. That's when they turn to the internet because they're not running into people.
Well, all I can say is, I mean, in New York, we have an overabundance of women. So the fact of the matter is that you could meet, if you're a conversationalist, you could meet one, two a day if you wanted to.
You could be a conversation. Wait. You could be a conversationalist, but it depends on what type of conversation you're throwing out there.
Exactly.
And it goes both ways.
If I may interject, because I've been listening very patiently, and I love the interaction that's going on between my guest callers. Michael, if I may, yes. I'd like to ask you a question, one of which that we've addressed on here on the Bree Life Radio Show before. Now, as you stated, you said that you were online talking with this, or now when you say talking, are you talking about the instant messaging that the site enables you to do, or are you talking about talking over the phone over a six-month period?
No, well, you know, it was instant messaging and emailing.
So let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. During that time, because, see, this is one of the issues that I've had, and I know Chris kind of touched on, I don't know if you were listening at the top of the show when Chris came on the line, but disclosure is a mm-hmm. big issue when you're doing internet dating. And some people mm-hmm. are not very forthright about what their set of circumstances may be, what their limitations may be, who they really are, what they really look like. So let me ask you something. Since you shared with the guest callers and our audience that you are a person that lives with disabilities,
mm-hmm.
how forthright were you, and when did you actually disclose that you are living with a disability to this individual that you're now in a relationship with for 7 years?
You know, I disclosed that to her, I would say within the first month. And what made it easier was her
mm-hmm.
brother has a similar disability.
Okay.
So
okay.
I guess that made it easier, but I'm going to be real with you. There was something in me. I don't know if it was God or what, but there was something in me that told me, be honest with her.
Uh-huh.
Come out with it, you know, because I know this sounds cliche, but, you know, this person was different from all the rest.
Now, let me ask, in the past, have you, in the past prior to her,
right.
were you as forthright with other people that you were meeting on the site?
No, but that has to do with maturity.
Okay. No, I'm not trying to single you out or bash you or
anything.
We don't bash on the Bree Life Radio Show. Okay.
But here's what, and
the reason why I'm asking you these questions is because I'm segueing into something that happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be one of my freestyles for tonight, since Mark brought up the topic of internet dating. I might have told this story before when we had an internet dating show. I'm not absolutely sure. For the new listeners that are listening in, this is my freestyle, my first freestyle for the night. I was internet dating. I think the year was 2004. And I had talked to someone who, ironically, his name is Michael. I seem to like that name. His name was Michael. He lived in Rhode Island. And I talked to him for about a month on the phone. At the time, I was in nursing school.
Mm-hmm.
He said, hey, I want to come down and see you. I said, great, let's do that. So I met him out at Orion Point at a seafood restaurant. when I walked in the restaurant, now, when I walked in the restaurant, I'm going down the aisle. To the left of me is the bar, and it's a long bar with about 20 bar stools along the aisle. And then to the right of me are chairs and tables. So as I'm walking toward the back of the restaurant, I see a guy sitting at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I approach closer to him, but I'm walking past him now, I have to stop because there's a walker in the aisle. So I push the walker to the side. I say, you know what, if I wasn't paying attention, I would have tripped over this damn thing and owned this whole restaurant. That's what I was thinking. So I pushed it to the side, and I keep walking. All of a sudden, I hear my cell phone ringing. I answer the phone, but I hear the voice in back of me louder than I hear coming through the phone. So I turn around. I said, Michael? Now, the first thing, let me just say, this person was about 30, 40 pounds, maybe 50 pounds heavier than what his picture that was on the profile had showed me, which was not a big deal because I tend to like a husky guy. That's not a problem. So, but when he got up, he reached for the walker. I looked at him, I said, did you just get injured? What happened? He said, oh, I have to talk to you about something. I said, okay. So we get a table, and he sits down, and he says, I meant to tell you about my disability. I said, your disability, what do you mean? He said, I have this disability that it's like, what did he say? He said it's like rheumatoid arthritis meets multiple sclerosis. So in 5 years' time, he's going to be completely wheelchair bound.
Right.
So I said, well, here's the thing. I said, and he said that he got this, he came across this because he got injured at work. He was a construction manager, and a beam fell on top of his legs and his foot.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to have a bunch of surgeries and stuff, and this is the result of this injury. So
right.
I said to him, I said, okay, I don't have a problem with you being disabled. My problem is the fact that you didn't disclose this when we were having conversations every day for 30 days. That's what I have a problem with. I said, because I should have been able, you should have given me enough information to make an informed decision, because maybe, just maybe, my choice would be not to be with someone who has a disability, because that's my right.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to make an informed choice. So I'm not singling out your disability. Please don't take it that way. What I'm trying to give the listeners a vantage point at is that we're talking about how sometimes when you're internet dating that people don't disclose what and who they really are and how frustrating that can be. That's my point, my story.
I have a question for you. So because you said that was back in 2004, and my assumption, I don't want to act like, you know, why am I going to act like I have no idea who you are? I will do that for the callers. I don't know her. Anyway, no, for real. So have you had any other internet dating experiences, and overall, what is your opinion as a woman? Because remember, Chris gave an account that his account is women are up here putting up these crazy profiles, and they not who they say they was, and they putting their cousin up there. and all this kind of stuff. What are you seeing happening for your life, for the time that you've been on the internet and done internet dating?
Okay, first of all, let me tell you about 2004. 2004 was the first of almost the first year of almost a decade that my life was in transition. My spouse and I broke up. We were going through a custody battle, and it was the worst time in my life. And I felt that I needed a distraction. So I chose to internet date because I wasn't feeling as though I was ready to do the face-to-face, go into a Dean Street Cafe or a lounge in the city and doing too much face-to-face interaction. I felt at first I needed a buffer. So I let the internet act as my buffer. But by no means was I afraid of anybody seeing me or knowing who I was because I live in transparency. So that wasn't the – so to one, to already be going through such transition and then do this internet dating and the first handful the first, like, six people that I meet, it was like it was very disheartening because each one of them had some malfunction. Let's say they completely misrepresented themselves. I had the one person that was crippled and it was handicapped and didn't disclose that. I had another person tell me he was 5'10". And he was shorter than, he was just as tall or maybe even shorter than my 9-year-old son at the time. I had another person tell me, you know, he owned a cleaning business in Jersey. And come to find out that the business belonged to his current fiance. And guess how I found out he was engaged? Because she called me in the middle of the night on my home phone.
Sorry.
let me see. I had a stalker. Had to get an order of protection.
You know, you know, not to cut you off, but you know what this shows me as a disabled black man, that we ain't that half bad, us disabled folk.
Listen, you bad a thousand because there are three able-bodied individuals that are online with you, and we ain't in no relationship. So, you know, you got a woman that you've been with for 7 years, so you're doing something right.
Come on, Bree, don't look. Stop it.
You know what I'm doing? You're
stop it.
Listen, I'm agreeing with the brother.
You know, there's an old saying, happy wife, happy life. I've learned that. Trust and believe. You know, I've learned to deal with my own insecurities because as a disabled person, you have insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a long time to deal with them insecurities. And I'm not going to say that I haven't told a fib here and there, but, you know, one morning you wake up and you go, I don't want to be lonely anymore. I want to grow old with somebody. So if I want to grow old with somebody, I need to fess up to myself. And once I fess up to myself and start accepting me, then that other person will accept me. And
that's right.
And now, let me tell you something. Now it's kind of funny when we go out somewhere. I walk with crutches, so you know I go up the train steps. And I tell her to hold the crutch, and she'll hold it, and she'll run with it. She'll take off with it, you know, she's two or three blocks ahead of me. And then she'll look back and say, oh, I forgot you had a disability. I've been with you for so long, you know. But the point I'm trying to make is, you know, once you deal with yourself and do some real soul searching with yourself and accept your faults as well as your successes, other people will too, and you won't have to resort to, oh, I forgot to tell you. Oh, we need to talk about that. I need to talk to you about that. Because I will tell you, as a disabled person, if somebody had done that to me and it was reversed, I would have had the same reaction you would have. I probably would have walked out the restaurant because it's
Oh, listen, let me tell you. I talked to him for about a half an hour. And see, you know, anybody who knows me knows that I'm a straight shooter. I'm going to tell you how I feel. I try to be diplomatic, but the one thing that doesn't, I'm not a good liar. And the one thing that don't lie about me is my body language. He saw in my body language how disappointed I was in him, because I want to believe that this guy is a nice guy, but he, like you said, he's not. He was not at the place where you are to deal with his affliction. I don't know if you were born with your handicap, but this is now a middle-aged man that has become handicapped.
And I will tell you who I got to...
So the psychological things that he is going through and what you might have gone... You've gone through your stuff far longer than what he was currently going through, let's say 8 years ago.
And I will tell you something. You said that he became disabled gradually.
Yeah.
Kind of, sort of. He was. I find a lot of times that when you're not born with something and it hits you hard, you kind of lose sense of reality, and you kind of think, you kind of start believing that you're less of something, you're less of a man, you're less of a human. I was born with mine. I'll be, if God spare life, I'll be 45 years old.
God bless you. Yes.
And, you know, and I was born with mine. Yes, I had my good days and I had my bad days. But my mom raised 6 black men. And she taught us to be independent. She taught us, don't let anybody make you a fool, especially me. I can do everything that my other brothers can do, and they're all able-bodied. They ain't got a couple screws, but that's another story. But
well, we could have them on the show another day.
I
have a question to Bree. I have a question back to Bree real quick, though, because you didn't answer my question. I need you to answer.
Okay, I'm sorry.
What do you feel, again, what do you feel, based upon all the years that you have been involved in internet dating, what do you look at, as far as your experiences, the state of internet dating, and how do you feel about it? Because Chris was real clear about how he felt about it, I want to know what Bree has to say about what she feels about the state of internet dating.
Well, the state of internet dating, I think the state of internet dating is actually worse now than it was when I first started back in 2004. And I made a conscious decision last year that I wasn't going to do it anymore, because I grew completely frustrated and dismayed with all the people that I was meeting. I mean, like I said, if they weren't misrepresenting themselves physically, they were misrepresenting themselves emotionally or status-wise. And you know what? It's not like I can't meet somebody, because, you know, I'm a decent-looking person. If I go out, if I allow myself to go someplace, I could definitely meet people. I'm an engaging person. I like to talk. I make eye contact. I'm not afraid to start up conversations with people that I don't know. So I just, you know, sometimes when you utilize a tool and you become comfortable with it, you over-exercise the ability to use it. And it got to a point where I was becoming so comfortable where I stopped dealing with people face to face. And when I realized I was doing that, and also becoming dismayed and, you know, unhappy with the whole experience, I said, you know what, enough of this. I disabled my account, and I said, you know what? When the time is right, I'm getting out there, and I'm going to experience life and breathe light and move around.
So as far as anyone that may want to enter into internet dating, because here's the reality that I'm noticing, that you have all kind of stories, just like you got the bar story or the nightmare bar stories or the filters that you got to use on the street. What I wonder is, if you had to give a young lady some advice about the internet dating, what would you tell her?
Well, first of all, what I would tell her, and then I want Chris to jump in. What I would tell her is that, one, use discretion and use common sense. Ask a lot of questions. Make sure you stay safe. No matter what you do, don't disclose too many personal details about yourself until you get to know the person. Do not allow the person to come to your home. Don't go to the person's home. Always meet in a public place. And then, you know, you got to do your due diligence. Just like Chris said in earlier shows, you know, you got to ask very detailed questions, whether you're internet dating or you meet somebody on the street. Or you meet somebody by chance, you're introduced to someone. You know, you have to ask detailed questions.
So you said internet dating wasn't for you. Do you think it's for anyone?
I think internet dating has its place in society. Would I recommend it? It's not. I recommend that everyone who's single should try it at least one time, but I don't say that it should be the ends to the means. You should utilize all aspects of socializing as a means to meet people. Not just utilizing, and it doesn't, you know, you can meet people on Facebook. You can meet people. You can meet people on other types of, you know, social medias. It doesn't have to be an internet dating site that you're paying dues to be a part of.
No pun intended.
Chris, what say you? I know that you wanted to jump in a few moments ago.
Yeah, I just wanted to end. I know it was about a half an hour ago, but I was wondering if you remember the question that you asked me. I just wanted to answer it, the one that was cut off. The question, what I wanted to say was, my problem with internet dating is the amount of time. It's not basically dealing with the people or interacting with them. It's just too slow for me. That's all it is.
Okay.
That's the problem I have with it. Because if you don't look like that person, I want to know now. If you are misrepresenting yourself, I want to know now. I don't want to spend 6 months talking to you and then find out that you are somebody else. You know.
Right.
And that's why I don't enjoy it, because some of the people, I mean, for real, let's just say you doctored up your profile, you know? I mean, these are the people that are starving for attention, because they want to attract that many more people, which is why you would have to enter a lie. You know,
let's not also forget about those people who are on these internet dating sites stating that they're single and they're married or they're living with someone.
Yeah,
I don't forget about those individuals also, because
that's happening at the bar, though. You know that's happening at the bar.
Oh, we're talking about internet dating right now.
Oh,
and I've had that happen too.
Yeah, but you know what? I keep thinking about what Chris was saying, and see, we got a couple things, and people that don't know and haven't heard Chris talk. Chris has a whole another monologue on the state of relationship, men and women relationships, period, no matter where you meet, whatever the medium is. And he's not that hopeful for our interactions right now, period. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you want this to be the jump off for that, because I think Chris got some things to talk about when it comes to relationships in general. The medium, I don't even know if that's the biggest obstacle for him. Like he said, he wants to know now, but he also talked in past shows about meeting people out and the things that they said and did, which it was cool for him because he found out right then, but he's still running into it when he's running into it everywhere he's running into it about women, what they really want, and the ability to be honest about what they want.
And before we move on, let's just bring, you know, my favorite girl, Gail from Minnesota, a.k.a. Turtle. Let's chant it. Turtle.
AKA the narcoleptic. Go ahead. Don't call the people on
it. Oh! Captain Turtle.
You tell some people.
Listen, baby.
Yeah, buddy.
Thursdays.
You don't tell people before,
huh? What's your freestyle, girl?
I don't know yet. I'm just listening.
I know, but I just know. But you know what? Thing about Turtle. For the listeners out there, I want you to know, Gail, she doesn't do anything fast. She does it slow. But she entered into the room, and she said, well, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to lean back, and I'm going to, you know, survey it before I go in. But you never know the moment that she's going to strike. She's like a rattlesnake.
Gail, me and Bree were talking about you today. I said, Gail will call in the show, and she'll say hi, and then she'll say, do we ask her to say something? She'll say, wait a minute, let me listen for a moment.
Yeah, let me listen for a minute.
like she'll, and then she'll go to sleep and say, oh. Okay, you know, then when she starts talking, though, you can't stop her from talking. But hey, boy, it's funny, boy, Gail. Hey, so all those people are tuning in, Gail, see, Minnesota,
hey,
Gail. Gail.
I'm gonna have to change it up on y'all now.
Oh my
yeah.
goodness!
Next week I'm gonna slick it up.
All right, Chris, what say you?
Tune in next week for Gail switching it up.
Well, first of all, I want to thank our caller, Michael Johnson, for jumping on the line and giving us his freestyle. We appreciate you, brother. Peace and blessings. And you know you're always welcome to enter in to the Bree Life Radio experience. So, Chris.
Yeah?
Come on, Chris.
Where you at, bro?
The state of male and women relationships. Come on, Chris. Break it down.
Lord have mercy. Is that your freestyle, Chris?
I love to talk about relationships.
I just think that people are not prepared to be in a relationship like right now. You know, they're not prepared. I mean, I don't think that it takes 3 months to get to know somebody. I don't think it takes 6 months to get to know somebody. I mean, we're just talking about the basics. I just don't think that it's that serious. I mean, the difference is that I've dealt with people that you might want to keep at arm's length for different reasons. You're not really trying to get into a relationship. You're not really trying to make a commitment. And I mean, you know, it's just very adolescent to me that if you're going to be about something, say that you're about it. I mean, the average woman I meet says that she is still interested in being married, and she is interested in having a child, even though the average woman I meet is over 40.
Wow.
They having babies later, though, Chris.
Now, I don't have a problem with that, but when you turn around and talk about, you know, then you want to play games. You know, then you want to not to be into disclosure. I mean, it's like by the time we get to know each other at your pace, you might be through menopause.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Christopher.
Oh, my Jesus. You might be through menopause. Wow. Chris. You got to breathe light on that one.
We got to wait. Hold on. You know what? Before Gail starts,
be nice.
No, wait, hold on a second, because this is my point to move the crowd that way. Hold on. This is the Breathe Light radio show, and we are breathing light. So let's just pause a moment and take a deep breath. Could you all do that with me, please?
Hoosah.
All right.
You might be in menopause. Oh my goodness. See, that's why we need Chris. Chris, hey y'all, Chris is the one.
Let's talk about this.
Be willing to call in and talk to Chris. Somebody,
yes,
please.
And you can do so at 424-220-1862. That number again is 424-220-1862. I dare you. It's Freestyle Thursdays. I dare you to call in and to deal with this brother who is talking about estrogen levels. Deal with him.
The menopause. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, Christopher. Explain yourself.
It's self-explanatory. It's just a bunch of lies. People are not ready to make a commitment. And I don't think that it's a mistake. I don't think it's a mistake that these women are still single because they play a lot of games. And the fact is that they don't know how to be in a relationship. 90% of them have never been in a real relationship where you
90%.
And having never depended on anybody or had anybody.
Ratios, please.
he likes to do that now. I thought it was Freestyle
Statistics.
That's right, it is. You can freestyle statistics. I don't get the freestyle, I guess. Okay.
Well, then let me piggyback off of something that he said, because this is kind of was my topic for today, and it's kind of a little maybe touchy. So he said women don't know how to be in a relationship, but I'm looking at the fact that you have all these men. And yes, you guys claim to be men, but you've been raised by women. So how manly are the men? Is that why we're not picking them? Because they're not manly enough? Because they haven't been raised by a man?
Wait, hold on. The phone lines are lighting up, and I think it's because of Brother Christopher talking about estrogen levels. So we're going to bring our next caller on. Peace and blessings. You've reached the Breathe Life Radio Show. I'm your host, Bree, and we are freestyling. Who may I have the pleasure of talking to?
Hi, Bree. This is Cece.
Cece.
I'm a new listener. Yeah.
How are you?
I'm excellent. Of course, you know I had to call in and get a piece of that Chris.
Oh, please do. Take it, Cece.
Cece.
First of all, Chris may need to realize that he's just not the one they're looking for, so they're not rushing into any mistakes.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with...
But do we have a rebut to that?
That's excuse number one. Go on.
What's the excuse?
You're talking about
there's
something
no
that you don't know. That's not a fact.
So are you married? Are you single? What's your status?
I'm single.
Single, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe what you're offering these women is not what they're looking for. Maybe you think it is, but maybe it really isn't. And so they put you on pause.
Maybe not. I mean, that's not a fact. Come on, Chris, you gotta do better than that. You can't just say maybe not. I mean, the woman just said maybe you're not offering. So what do you think
I can't respond. Maybe they
Come
are.
On, Chris.
Maybe I'm down.
So let me explain this. Let me explain this.
And I'm not saying nothing.
At our age, most women have been through so much mess. They're trying to go through more mess just because the guys are finally ready to settle down. we can, at this point, take our time and choose that right man that we're going to spend the rest of our lives with. We done raised our kids. We done pretty much dealt with these knucklehead men that ain't figured out until now that they want to grow old with someone. And now we got to jump into matrimony just because they now figured out that they're ready? I think
not. I'm not talking about women that don't want to be in a relationship. I'm not talking about women that have found their own and they're happy with themselves. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about women that claim to want to be in a relationship. We're talking about women that claim to want to have somebody to grow old with. We're talking about women that want that. We're not talking about women
that are
perfectly
too.
Happy on their own.
No,
we're not
talking about that woman too, but the caveat is maybe that woman, when you present yourself, that's not what she's looking for. She wants to be in that relationship, but maybe what you're bringing to the table isn't all what you think it is. So she has to settle just because, I want the relationship? Or can she choose? Yes, you're the one. No, you're not the one.
Of course she can. And the question
is, so that's where we at.
Well, the whole conversation is basically internet dating and finding that out in 6 months, or street dating and finding that out in 2 weeks.
Oh.
That's what we're talking about.
Okay, but I'm just saying it's a little more scarier to date when you've not met this person, you don't have any history behind them. It's better to be a little cautious and not rush to something. And I don't think 6 months is too long or too short of a time to try to figure out or get to know you.
Well, that's
now,
the difference.
If you met me on the street or we grew up together.
We're talking about the difference between dating, different types of dating. One of the things that I mentioned earlier was you have something called speed dating, where you can basically get your questions out, get your answers, they can get their questions out, the things that are important to them, and get their answers and decide whether you want to take a phone number. You can. This doesn't stop you from taking your time.
Right. I've actually speed dated and walked out with nothing. So, that's just another forum. That's just another forum to actually meet people, to network, to see what's out there. And it beats internet dating because you see them physically. You see if they got a gimp or a limp or, you know what I'm saying, they cross-eyed. You can't see that on the internet.
Cece, hold on a minute, because we have another caller calling in. Don't go anywhere, baby. Hold on.
Okay.
Peace and blessings. You've reached the Bree Life Radio Show, and we are freestyling. Who may I have the pleasure of talking to? Hello? Okay. Hold on one moment. Peace and blessings. You have reached the Bree Life Radio Show. I'm your girl, Bree, and we are freestyling. And I think I know who this is. This is Marty Ma.
Who?
Is this Martin the barber?
No.
Oh, okay. Who may I have the pleasure of talking to?
Matt Lips.
I'm sorry?
Matless.
Okay. Peace and blessings, brother. We're freestyling.
Yeah.
And it's Thursday.
Yeah.
Right, have you been listening to the show?
Somewhat. I kind of caught some of the conversations about speed dating and the internet dating and whatnot. But I'm mainly calling about the topics from last night, kind of related to tonight, I guess. Well, you were asked the question, what do women really want?
Okay.
And I called in last night. I wasn't able to get in. But it seems like that, to me, there's all this focus which is, I think, a problem. There's all this focus on what women want. There's never any consideration of what men actually want.
Well, that show is next week.
Well, in general, the past 30 years, there's always been this focus on what women want, what women need, what just in general. I'm talking about in the media, in these magazines, for women, period, filling that void that these women need. Yet there's no emphasis on trying to find out what men actually want in a relationship.
Okay, well, brother, that's what the Bree Life Radio Show is all about. I'm trying to create a forum for everyone to have an opportunity to say what they need to say. So we're going to forget about the last 30 years, and we're going to take this moment, and we're going to hand you the mic, and you're going to tell us, what do men really want? In 2 minutes.
We had a caller just a few moments ago that talked about wanting to be with a woman that can be reproductive. I mean, you want to have, a man wants to be with a woman that is loyal, that's going to be able to raise his family, do things in the home that need to be taken care of. Basically, all these traditional roles that women seem to shy away from now or think is quote-unquote slavery. It used to be that being a mother and being a wife was a good thing. Nowadays, black women now, they don't want to be mothers and wives. They just want to be married, I guess, or want to have kids. But then the whole concept of being a mother and a wife is almost like second nature. I mean, you know, second hand. I mean,
it's
not really something that's looked at as a positive.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think that is?
Being the wife is being a slave.
And why do you think that is? Why do you think women have come to this place, and not all women, mind you, some women, you're saying?
Most
women?
Most.
Okay. Most women are coming to a place where they don't want to be a mother. They don't want the traditional role. Or they just want to have that special day where they get to put the white dress on. Is that where you're going with this?
Exactly. Yeah. They want to be in a wedding, but they don't want to be a wife.
But they don't want to be in a marriage.
No. They want. Yeah. Exactly. They want to have that wedding.
There's two different things. You in a wedding for a day, but you're in a marriage for an extended period of time.
Exactly,
so
right. And that's
okay.
What I'm That's what I'm
so,
saying.
And why do you think that is?
I don't know if it's the Oprah complex. I don't know if it's
Oprah complex. That's the second time I've heard this. The Oprah complex.
But,
okay.
This has been a problem for the last 30 or 40 years in the black community. And it has gotten to the point where women have so much power and so much control over families now to where if they get into a relationship or they meet that guy that is able to take some of that power away from them in terms of being a husband and being that responsible man, they run away from that. They'd rather hold on to that control than be with a man that has his stuff together and is basically going to be the one running the day-to-day, making the day-to-day decisions within a home.
Okay. I want to allow one of our guest callers to be able to make comments with regards to what you said. So, first, briefly, I'm going to ask Chris to take a stab at this brother's comments. Because actually, if I'm not mistaken, he was referencing something that you said about women that you have been talking to that are in their 40s, that they actually are still considering having children. So, Chris, why don't you rebut?
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to clarify something. I didn't say anything about wanting
to find a woman that wanted to still have children. I didn't say that. What I said was that the women, a lot of women that I meet, have never been married and have never had any children, and they're in their 40s, and they let you know from the first day that that's something that they're interested in. So if you're not interested in getting married or having children, that y'all don't need to be talking.
Okay. Now, is my Gail still there? Would you like to address what the brother said?
No, I'm not understanding it, so I'm going to keep listening.
Okay. Mark, I know you've been patiently waiting.
He must be gone.
No, he's not gone. Mark? Okay.
Hello?
Mark? All right. I think Brother Mark is, I think he might be gone. So, caller, please.
Hello.
Okay.
Sorry about that. What's the brother's name again?
Madeline.
Okay. So, here's the thing. And you can, I'm just going to put out a plug. This is a quick public service announcement. I just did you can check out my blog on Mark, MarkSaidIt, .blogspot.com. And I did a whole thing on what you're talking about. And I actually posted on Facebook today this whole thing about, and it says, he doesn't know what to do with her. And basically, here's the thing. We've had shifts. We've had shifts in how we relate and interact. And I am clear that I've been talking to so many women over the last 10 years that I'm convinced that I feel comfortable being a non-expert expert. And I can tell you what I do believe is this, is that we as men have a challenge because women are not looking for a breadwinner and a protector no more. So now we're asked to step into a whole different world. And many times, and I was just quoting, when you look at the unemployment rate back in 2009, for instance, it was 17.1% for Black American for Black American men, and 17.1% for Black American men, and 12.4% for Black American women. And so, what you're finding is this: a lot of things are shifting in the social realm. So now, remember, when you start talking about 50 years ago, men were the breadwinner. They came in, they basically did what they did. The woman was not in the workforce like she was, so her level of dependency and need for that relationship for various reasons has changed now. So now they're looking for different stuff right now. They're looking for, and I've talked to too many, and right now I'm going to tell you the majority, even probably these sisters on this phone right now, they're not looking for somebody to protect them right now, per se. They're probably looking for somebody to be honest with their with feelings and stuff. But they're not looking for anybody to protect them. And as far as babies is concerned, I don't know how old you are, but if you're in your 40s or so, you might have some. But the vast majority of women I know ain't trying to have babies right now.
What is that in the background, please?
But again, that is one problem right there. If you're a man that wants to have children, if you're a man that wants to have a family, the cornerstone of that family, you know, is, well, obviously you have to have the father and the mother there and the husband-wife relationship. If you got people out here that don't want to be husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, then it's over. I mean, it's a wrap. And the problem is that women nowadays, there's no incentive and no reinforcement for women nowadays to embrace being a good mother or a traditional mother and a traditional wife. They'll rather have these new gender bender roles where they're wearing all these hats in the relationship, making all these so-called decisions, and look at what it's gotten them.
Well, you know what, being a progressive woman myself.
In the world who come out and openly say, I don't need my man. I don't need a man. They're the only women out here in the world on a majority basis that are openly admitting that they don't need their men.
Well, you know what?
You know, it's what they need the man for.
Wait. I have to say, as a progressive woman myself, I don't want to take on gender bender roles because I'm a project manager by work experience, but I would prefer not to be in a relationship that I had to project manage. So sir, what area of the United States do you hail from?
Tennessee.
I'm sorry?
Tennessee,
okay.
Yeah.
I can't say that I know much about where you're from, but I do know for a fact that I know a handful of women that would be opposed to what you're saying about them wanting to take on all these additional roles and make decisions that for the family that would traditionally be the head of the household, so to speak, from what I'm gathering you're saying, because I know lots of women in their 30s and 40s that are professional women that would love to be in a traditional relationship, but unfortunately they haven't had the good fortune to be able to participate in those types of relationships because men have not made themselves that available to these professional women who want to be in these traditional relationships. And it's not all men's fault. There is blame to be had on both sides. And the basis of the blame always stems from one thing I complain about and I talk about on every show, and that's communication. We have not learned how to communicate with one another in an effective manner. And until we change how we talk to one another and how we listen to one another and our level of commitment to a relationship, we're going to be talking about this subject for a real long time. But don't go anywhere, sir, because I want to bring another caller on. And I think this is my favorite quarterback coming on the line. Peace and blessings. You've reached the Bree Life Radio Show. I'm your girl, Bree. And you are freestyling with us on Freestyle Thursdays. Who may I have the pleasure of talking to?
This is Quentin.
This is my favorite quarterback from Chicago, baby.
Yeah.
Are you doing it,
baby? Yeah, this is Chicago.
That's right. You from Chicago, brother?
This is a Chicago brother.
You from Quentin. Chicago?
Yes, I am.
I'm from Chicago too, brother. So, hey, I'm in Houston, but I'm from Chicago. So, much love.
Much love.
So, Quentin.
Yes.
It is Freestyle Thursdays. I want you to come on Bree Life Radio and Breeze Light and tell me what your freestyle is.
Well, I want to talk about this male and female relationship situation.
Okay. Let's talk about it. That's what we've been talking about.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I came in at the right time then.
That's right.
Yes, you did.
Okay, so what seems to be the topic of the male and female situation that you've been talking about?
We have Chris from New York that feels that women are not stepping up to the plate the way he feels that they should be, and they're not really as ready for relationships as they state that they are. We have another brother that's on the line from Tennessee. I believe you said your name is Manless?
Madless.
Madless. Okay.
And he feels that women are not wanting to take on the traditional roles of being in a marriage, that they are taking on these new, very independent roles that are in contradiction of the traditional role. Okay. So you can either come somewhere in between that, address either one, or come up with your own freestyle about the state of male and female relationships today. And also, Brother Mark, he started off the top of the show, and we've had a great deal of dialogue about internet dating.
Oh, okay. What happened to the other girl?
And we have Turtle in the background just chilling.
Hey, she's from Racine, Wisconsin originally.
What, Mark? What?
I said she's from Racine, Wisconsin, and us from Chicago, we know where that is.
By way of Minnesota.
What happened to the girl with all the questions?
I think she left us, but we're very thankful for Cece calling in, and we appreciate her.
Oh, wow. So Turtle was in the background just not saying anything?
Well, so, Quentin, when you start calling in regularly, you'll understand how our flow operates. And she jumps in when the time is right. She strikes like a cobra.
I put my freestyle out and got kicked to the curb. I said, what about all these supposedly men who are raised by women? So how do you define yourself as a man if you're raised by a woman?
Oh, I apologize.
Man is raised by a woman. Go ahead.
So you know what? So can we have one of the gentlemen on the line address that issue?
Well, I can't speak for men that are raised by women because my mother and father were married for 50 years before he passed away. So I can't speak for them.
Okay. That's why I said congratulations to you. That's a rare.
I can't.
Do we have any men on the line that were raised by their mothers or that knew women who raised male children alone and how the impact of that was?
That was a question, right? How do you call yourself a man if you were raised by a woman? That was the question, right?
Yeah, there's something missing. There's got to be something missing, and maybe that's what women are looking for, but it's missing because I'll say 50% of the men, if not more, are raised by women. So how can we even get a full feel of a man, which we're looking for anyways, because most of us have not had our dads, so therefore we're all looking for something, but something's missing. It's missing.
I mean, you got women out here that are raising boys, and you're right that the outcomes are tragic. But here's my counter to that. You also got women raising little girls, and the women are doing a poor job of turning them into ladies also.
I agree with some of that. Not all of it. I do agree.
There's a commonality between that and that. The women are failing in raising either of the kids, men or women. So
I don't think it's the responsibility only, if I may, Gail, for a moment. I don't really just believe that it's totally the responsibility of a woman to raise children. We weren't alone when these children were being conceived.
Correct.
Well, just because the man is not present doesn't mean that he can't impact the day-to-day life of his child or children. And in fairness to single fathers out there, I know a lot of them that are very active in the roles of their children.
I have a friend that lives in Queens. He's a great dad. I have another friend that lives in Massachusetts. He is a wonderful dad. I have my friend in Houston, Texas. He's a great dad, you know. So there are men that are willing to step up to the plate and be present even if the relationship or the marriage did not work out.
Correct.
And that makes a difference. That makes a difference for co-parenting relationship and raise your children and put your petty differences to the side.
Okay.
You'll have a healthier child there who has a balance of those two if you have your parent and the. So we're all, if we're missing one thing when we were raised, and then we get out here and look for a relationship, which it's usually that you're trying to grab something that you didn't get as a child. Maybe your father, if your father wasn't there to give you that impact on what you should look for in a man, so then you're going to make those mistakes of finding those fragging apples. Is that what you call them?
That's right, the fugazi fragonacle.
So we're all searching for something that we lack as kids, so therefore it's just hard. How are you going to even find that positive relationship if you didn't get what you were supposed to get when you were growing up?
Okay,
right.
Can I say something? Because you asked the question, and you said anybody out there been raised by a woman, and nobody, I've been trying to say this for the longest because everybody said they haven't. I have been, okay, number one. So therefore, as far as I'm concerned, I think we downplay the value of what these people bring to humanity. Because we can talk man and woman all day, but there's a level of humanity that cannot be escaped as far as a level of decorum, respect, and understanding for your fellow human being. Now, guess what? Seeing as though we have a lot of black-on-black crime and it's man-on-man crime, it's not a lot of value for males, for that matter. And if you want to say women, whatever you want to say about black women, well, I will tell you this. The woman that raised me was a nurturer, and she explained certain things to me by virtue of the fact of her vantage point, but she also let me know that, hey, you got to go out there and find out for yourself. You know what I'm saying? And then when Bree makes the point about the Cosby Show, which we say I like Good Times because I thought John Amos was a great father in that scenario. But regardless of which one you point to,
he was a male chauvinist pig.
Well, you know what? He loved Florida. Forget that. He loved the heck out of Florida.
Yeah, he loved Florida, but
he
was a male chauvinist pig.
Okay, well, let me just say this real quick. So
well,
all I'm saying
so
is this.
He was a father and a husband? That makes him a male chauvinist because he was a father and a husband?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when they were talking, there were many times when he made reference to the fact that women didn't want to just take on traditional roles, that they wanted to be, they also wanted to gain education and become valuable in the workforce so that they could also be an additive in their home. And he didn't want Florida to do that. He was happy with her not being educated and just being home available to him.
I don't agree with that. I don't think he was
and
happy
for the
I will.
You know what? On our next show, since statistics and facts are so important to you, Mark from Houston, Texas, I will find out what episode that they had that argument. Because I remember that show.
I remember his behavior, too. But he was a hunter and gatherer. He got out there and he paid them bills regardless of what he did. He paid those bills. So what I'm saying is, that even though you were nurtured by a woman, there's something missing in the hunter and gathering area.
Well, wait a minute. You got to understand, and I said this before about humans, And the whole concept of evolution and change. Things change, and the reality is that I don't need to use my same instincts. Because remember this, we're not hunting deer to live no more. So now, that's a different, wait a minute.
Each woman continue to say you're not hunting and gathering enough, then what? What is changing? Nothing.
No, wait a minute. No, Gail, what I'm saying to you, Gail, is this. When I say hunting, okay, remember this. You had things that had functions from the beginning, and now
to help pay these bills.
Okay,
no,
well,
wait a minute.
I have to pause you both because I want to hear from our newest addition to the caller to the call, Quentin. You're out there still, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
You've been listening.
Yes.
Please,
yes,
allow us to hear your perspective on what you've heard so far.
Never answer a question.
I'm sorry?
Never answer a question.
Okay.
Turtle asked a question. How can you call yourself a man if you're raised by a woman? The question was never answered. All that's answered.
Okay, I don't have to call myself a man. I am a man. I mean, what do you mean? I don't care who raised me. I'm still a damn man. I mean, I don't understand.
I don't know what that means.
I mean, I don't know.
Missing. You can't tell me there's not something missing. There's something missing in me if I didn't have my dad there.
I don't think nothing in me is missing. I think there's things that I have to discover within me, but I personally don't have. I don't subscribe to this thing. Something is missing in me. But
well,
if I'm not functioning at the highest level, to me that means that I just have to grasp that part of me. But it's close.
Okay,
hold on. Well, I would like to hear from Quentin at this point.
Quentin can answer in a second. They say I have talked to a lot of guys who haven't been had a father figure or anything. They said there's this empty feeling and it feels like a black hole. So I'm just saying, how can we have all these positive relationships with man and woman when we're all just fragmented? Now go ahead, Quentin. But it's freestyle, so he can say whatever he wants, right, Bree?
Yes,
or
he can.
Talk about whatever. It doesn't have to be our topic.
When a turtle wakes up.
I tell you, right? Quentin.
He's gone.
Is he still there? Hold on a moment. Let's see if we can get Quentin back. I think we scared the hell out of him. Hold on.
Oh, he's scared himself. He said he don't answer questions. He done got caught up a lot.
Okay. This is the Bree Life Radio Show, and we're freestyling. This is your girl, Bree. Who may I have the pleasure of talking to? Hello? Okay.
Now, what I would like to know is, what is she saying?
Wait, hold on. Quentin?
Uh-huh.
We couldn't hear a word you were saying, so could you please roll tape back?
Okay. All right. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay. What I would like to know is, because it was so much going on, what specifically is she saying about, men who were raised by women?
She's saying that there's an element, a personality defect or dysfunction in men that were solely raised by their mothers.
Okay, just solely. So I guess that means that this particular father figure that you were speaking of that is a very good father in that child's life, she's not speaking of that situation.
No. She's saying that something is missing in men that were solely raised by their mothers because they don't have a hunter-gatherer type of mentality.
Right.
And she feels that there is a defect.
So is that all in her experience? Is that what she's been experiencing from men that she's been, in relationships with, and for her to have that type of knowledge?
No, I observe a lot. I see a lot of men here where I live on the corner, and they're drinking, and they don't have jobs. And, I mean, there's a lot of other variables that play into a lot of this. I know that. But I'm looking at how can you be – because we go through a lot of things when you're missing part of the development stages. And if they say a parent and a mother is supposed to nurture you together, and then we're not getting that, there has to be some missing element as far as us being a whole person to even get into a relationship with another person. How can I get a relationship with you when I haven't been whole myself, so to speak? Because I wasn't nurtured. I didn't have both nurturing parents. They say girls are looking for their father figures, and guys are looking for, well, sometimes you're looking for your mother figure, but then you say you don't want to be mother.
So I think based upon, you know, when you're living in a family dynamic, when you have both your mother and father, or even when you don't, but you know who your parents are. For girls, I think because our fathers are the first man that we ever learn to love, that's our first loving experience with a man. I think innately we tend to look for certain characteristics that are common to us in a man.
And then when you don't have that, what happens? There's some, you know, you're dysfunctional at some point when you don't have that.
Well,
right?
Am I mistaken, or did I hear you say you did not?
I did not, but I've been okay because I've educated myself and I've observed a lot, so therefore I didn't go through a lot. I like to think that anyway.
So there's a possibility that a male could do the
same
thing.
Yeah, there definitely is.
I can't hear Quentin.
There definitely is. And I said 50%. I didn't say a 90. I said 50. I'm going to give y'all 50.
You're going to give us 50.
I'm going to give y'all 50, brother.
Oh, okay. Okay. Wow. Hello?
I'm here. We're here.
Okay, so you giving us 50 based on what?
Her interviews and interactions.
She's interviewed people. She's interacted with brothers, and her conclusion is we are missing, and women are missing too. She's saying women are missing the fact that they didn't have fathers around, and brothers are missing the fact that they didn't have fathers around, and so you got incompletion, and now we all out here trying to find completion in each other. That's what she's trying to say to me. That's what I'm hearing.
You're trying to find a healthy relationship.
Oh boy, I think somebody is a little upset.
I would like to hear from her. Is that what you're saying, that you have interviewed these brothers?
This summary is accurate. I do a lot. I'm a psychologist, so I do a lot of observation.
That's your observation?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So what say you, Quentin?
Well, I mean, I can agree that that's a possibility with some of the brothers, but I don't think you can put a percentage on that. I mean, because we have problems all the way around. You know, there's a lot of aspects that could cause those type of problems, but I don't think it's just because that. You know, there's one parent, which is the mom, that's raising the men that is solely the problem.
Right. I don't know if any of them out here that have problems with women that, okay, I want to raise you, but you have a problem with. They're in domestic abuse situations. They're just, it's like, what? Did you not learn? What? Like,
here's the thing, Gail. Just because you were raised with your mother and your father, don't mean it was healthy either.
No.
Right. You could have been in the midst of a very dysfunctional situation.
No, it didn't. It don't always have to be healthy, but there is something that you get from being able to sit and observe how you're supposed
you
to.
You learn how to hit a woman. Okay.
No, that's not the part. What? Go there. We already discussed that piece. It could
I'm
be
just
that
saying,
you
in an abusive,
her,
what do you see?
You said, man, she just wants to hold a job down and pay some bills. A lot of men don't even know how to do that.
Oh. Well, I understand that, but I'm just saying, if it's a dysfunctional relationship, then my question would be, would it be better that the father not be there if he's beating on the mother? I say yes.
I say yes.
So, I mean, I don't know. Here's the thing, and Quentin said it really well. He said, there are a lot of variables, and I think there are a lot of variables, and there are reasons why brothers are on the corner. But you say, Gail, that the reason that the majority of brothers are on the corner because they miss their fathers. That's what you're suggesting.
No, I didn't say the majority of the men in the corner that they miss their fathers. A lot of them have alcohol problems and drug problems because they have something missing inside of them. They don't quite understand what it is, and it's usually the fact that they didn't bond with a male. It don't have to be their father. It could be a positive male. It could be a positive mentor.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So they're missing something.
Well, I don't know if it's because they didn't bond with a male. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Me neither. I'm sorry. I think we need more. We need more research on that, Miguel. I'm sorry. I just don't buy it.
Anybody can teach you, you know, what you need to know as far as the damages of alcohol. It doesn't have to be a male. You know what I'm saying?
Huh?
Or the damage. Huh? Hello?
I'm here. We're here.
Yeah, I mean, is that what you're saying? That a male has to teach?
I said, what I've observed is a lot of men drink because they're trying to cover up a feeling inside of them. Don't know what it's from. And usually it's from not having that dad in their life. And this is my experience.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be everybody else.
Okay.
So this is, let's talk about Thursday. So this is my experience, and I'm putting it on the table.
Okay.
I understand.
Okay,
she said this. And I ain't going to lie. When you say stuff like this, and I've heard Quentin say it, it's kind of like, we would love to see some data on this. I mean, because I don't know where you're getting this stuff from.
Yeah.
Experience. We don't need a whole lot of data.
We don't need
statistics and ratios. We're talking from a lot of everything that we're talking about is from our personal life experiences or experiences of those who are close to us.
Okay, so this
all I'm saying is So you had
You're only going based on the small amount of experiences that you. I hope it's not large, but the small amount of experiences.
No,
I'm sorry.
You guys are stuck on the wrong thing.
Okay,
if we women out here cannot find a man that we think is a man, that our definition of a man, so what's wrong with that? Something's wrong.
If you say that again, you're saying if you cannot?
Our definition of a man, you know, like they said, these relationships aren't working for whatever reason. And if women aren't picking these men who say they're out here and they're available, then what's wrong with these men that are out here that we're not picking and we still want to be with somebody? Are they not living up to our definition of a man?
Okay, I apologize if you can just. So you're saying that what is the reason that
you're
not
finding? What's the other guy's name? Is he still on the phone? The one who has that says women are wanting to be in a relationship, but
gentleman
not
from
wanting.
Tennessee, is he still on the line?
Is
the gentleman from Tennessee?
No.
I'm just trying to say, he's saying all these women are out here. They're looking for a man, but they're not accepting the free men that are out here. So I'm saying, if you're not measuring up to what we have envisioned in our head as a man, then don't you something missing? I do. Because I look around and I see a lot of men.
They
take hold of my time of the day.
Okay, well, that could go both ways. You know what I mean? I mean, there could be men that's looking for a woman. You know, there's things that's missing in those men that are not stepping up to the plate the way that you're saying. Of course, there's something missing in that situation.
It depends.
It depends on what male and what experience you have with him. You know, I mean it's dependent upon that. You know, but that doesn't mean that that particular male that you're looking for isn't out there.
I'm sorry. No, I'm not looking for any. I'm speaking just to be.
Yeah, well, there's good and bad in everything.
Yes. This is a perspective that I've been observing, and I was just wondering what's the take on it, and how do you guys feel about men being raised by women and you're supposed to be men?
Well, I don't think that just because a man is raised by a woman, he cannot be a good man.
Don't you think there's something that's lost throughout the generations? If this continues,
the only thing that I see that's lost is maybe the ability for those two people to stay together. that may be lost.
We're going to have to end the show, but I want to thank all my guest callers, Mark from Houston, Texas, Chris from New York, Quentin from Chicago, Gail from Minnesota, Cece, who called in from places unknown, the other gentleman that called. I want to remind you to follow Bree Life Radio on Twitter, Facebook, and I want you to do me a favor. I want you to come back next week, but in the meanwhile, I want you to breathe light. This is the Bree Life Radio Show. I thank you all for listening and for calling in, and I'm out. Good night, all.
Good night.
Yeah, yeah. A-Dream in the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in. Look.
Yes, sir.
Look. We came to break down a few topics. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico. So welcome to the life.